Hey, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast, where we explore the intersection between creativity and student learning. I'm your host, John Spencer, and I am a current college professor, former classroom teacher, and I'm passionate about seeing schools embrace design thinking and creativity, and really seeing classrooms become bastions of creativity and wonder. So we've been doing this series right now on vintage learning. I think we've only done one or two so far in this podcast. And we're going to explore one today that's a little different. It's not a vintage strategy per se. It's a vintage idea. And it's one that I think is kind of interesting. It's this question of whether or not school should be more confusing. And just hear me out on it. So I recently listened to a 99% Invisible podcast, and if you listen to this podcast at all, you know that's one of my favorite out there. And they mentioned this excavation of a ship deep underground in the San Francisco Business District. Now, at this point when I'm hearing about it, I paused the podcast, and I just sat there and wondered how a ship would end up buried deep within the city, far underground. Who put it there? How did it get there? Why did it remain buried this entire time? And why were people surprised about this? You know, what was the deal? Now, in this moment, I missed teaching middle school social studies. I imagined myself sharing this scenario with my students and then asking them to ask questions and just develop a logical theory for how the ship had remained buried underground. They would have critiqued one another's theories, and then ultimately the class would reach consensus together. And then we would look at it and compare it to the reality. We'd probably play the rest of the podcast. I know. I could just Google the answer. I could play the entire podcast from start to finish. I could make it simpler with charts and graphs and diagrams. Here's the thing. This mystery, this complexity, and this confusion would have pushed their thinking and increased their engagement. Don't get me wrong. The answer to the boat mystery is fascinating. It has to do with the fact that they were filling in swampy land and essentially building more land area where the land hadn't already existed, where it was, essentially water. They created extra land, and this happens all the time. And that was actually kind of the theme of that 99% Invisible podcast. But I never would have learned about this. I never would have paid attention. I never would have been fascinated if there hadn't been this phase of confusion. And I think that's what we need. We need that in schools. So for this entire month, I've been focused on reading works that are at least 2,000 years old or older. And it's part of this idea of doing a series on vintage learning. I'm actually kind of working on a book on this topic, because what began as kind of an idea for a series has ballooned into kind of this book that I want to write. But as I started to uncover old ideas, I started wondering what we're missing from our current culture. You know, what old ideas have we pushed aside that we need to reconsider? And I wanted to listen to the voices that have been hushed by just the distance and the context of where we are now. See, I don't believe in the idea of automatic progress. I don't believe that something newer is inherently better. I think sometimes some really great ideas are actually really, really vintage. And this is why I, you know, enjoy reading Seneca, or why I like the book of Ecclesiastes. I just find this stuff really, really interesting. So it was about a week into this process that I started to notice a trend. Most of the works are confusing. It's not an issue of text complexity or archaic language or cultural knowledge of ancient civilizations. Rather, these texts are deliberately and specifically confusing. Whether it's a parable of Jesus, a story found in ancient literature, or a Socratic dialogue, there is an idea that confusion is a vital part of the learning process. It's not something that the authors try to avoid. In fact, it's often something they try to embrace. Now, confusion has a few surprising benefits. It pushes you to slow down and think deeper. In the process, you start struggling with it and you wrestle with it and you learn more. The struggle to figure things out makes it stick, is what I'm trying to say. It's often why I forget entire sections of textbooks, but it's almost impossible to forget a parable. It often leads you into a place of nuanced understanding. That's why some of my favorite movies that have stuck with me forever have been specifically and deliberately confusing. I had to watch them a couple of times before it really made sense. Now, Annie Murphy Paul describes it this way. I love this quote from her, where she says, "We short-circuit this process of subconscious learning, however, when we rush in too soon with an answer. It's better to allow that confused, confounded feeling to last a little longer for two reasons. First, not knowing the single correct way to resolve a problem allows us to explore a wide variety of potential explanations, thereby giving us a deeper and broader sense of the issues involved. And second, the feeling of being confused, of not knowing what's up, creates a powerful drive to figure it out. We're motivated to look more deeply, search more vigorously for a solution, and in doing so, we understand things that we would not have had we simply been handed the answer at the outset." And I think that's exactly it. Point number one, that not knowing the answer ahead of time pushes you to think divergently. It pushes you to explore new possibilities you'd never considered. But that second piece is also really important as well. That feeling of being confused and confounded and being lost is what drives you to want to learn more. That's what increases engagement. And I would add a third piece that she didn't mention, but I think it's also really significant. It's this idea that when students are confused, the learning actually sticks. But here's the problem. Schools, as they're built right now, are not designed to incorporate confusion. In fact, we reward students for speed and accuracy. That's things like averaging grades, setting rigid deadlines, giving awards for those who get it the fastest. And our standardized tests place a high value in speed and accuracy as well, rather than things like nuance and confusion. We value teachers who can make learning efficient, clear, and easy to understand. But I wonder if we're missing out on something in this push toward efficiency and simplicity. Derek Moeller is a great YouTube video guy, and he has actually published some fascinating research on science videos. Now, here's the thing. When people watch a simple science video with very clear concepts, they tend to believe that they understand it at a deep level. But that's not actually the case. They are overconfident in their understanding, and they're unaware that they don't actually understand what they're learning. They're also less mentally engaged as they watch it. So it gives this false positive of knowing what's going on. By contrast, when they watch videos with strategic confusion, especially those who make them actually ask questions and test the hypothesis, they are convinced that they know very little of the information when in fact they are learning it at a deeper and deeper level. They also have a higher level of engagement and a deeper retention. In other words, like I said before, higher engagement, deeper drive to learn, more engagement, deeper attention. Those are all factors that Annie Murphy Paul had mentioned in the quote that I mentioned just a minute ago. So it's not surprising. And there's a great video of this on the blog post that corresponds to this podcast. You could check it out. But I find this fascinating because we often assume that students are failing to understand concepts because they are that because we're making them too confusing, right? This is a common occurrence in school. We think that by that when students aren't getting it, we confuse them, and often that's what we hear from them, right? They complain like, I didn't get it. That teacher's too confusing, or that class is too confusing. But what if this is actually not right? I mean, what if simpler texts and simple diagrams are actually a part of the problem? What if this is entirely wrong? What if real engagement looks less like a Khan Academy video and more like a Socratic dialogue? What if confusion is actually something that we need more of in school, not less of? So here are 9 ways teachers can embrace confusion in the classroom. Number 1, present mysteries. Just like what I mentioned before, it's the idea that you present them with something that is confusing and mysterious, and they have to solve it on their own. Number 2 is allowing for mistakes. Let them see that being wrong is actually what scientists and historians and engineers and mathematicians do on a regular basis. Number 3, embrace student inquiry. Let them ask deep questions, whether it's philosophical discussions or hands-on science experiments. Get them asking more questions, because that is creative confusion. Number 4, don't shy away from confusing material. Unlike presenting a mystery, this is the idea of getting them to read works or seeing videos that are confusing in and of themselves. They might not have a mystery, but they are just hard to navigate. Watch movies that perplex you. Read up on early Socratic dialogues, even when they don't seem to resolve themselves, well, at all. It's the idea of jumping into the nuance. Number 5, avoid simplistic explanations. And this can be really hard, but this happens all the time. Students learn that World War II was waged to stop the Holocaust. Not true. They learn that plants turn our breath into food. Not entirely accurate. Right? These are simple things that happen all the time to make things more digestible to students. But in the process, it fails to let them jump into this confusion that can lead to deeper learning. So avoiding simplicity in our explanations, avoiding the charts that make things way too digestible, might actually be exactly what they need. Number 6 is pretty much like this. Be careful with the visuals. There are way too many processes that cannot be easily drawn with visuals. And although I'm someone who loves to draw, and I make sketchy videos, and I'm all about visuals, there are times when a diagram doesn't actually tell the story correctly. And so we need to think about how we're using those. Number 7, encourage dialogue. Get them engaged in conflict. Get them engaged in seeing things from multiple perspectives, because that is at the heart of confusion. As I go back into the ancient sources, I'm struck by the power in confusing dialogue, especially with Socrates. It's inefficient and it's messy, but it pushes you into areas of thinking that you'll miss when reading a simple chart. The same is true in a classroom. Students need to have the space and the time to debate ideas and engage in deep dialogue that specifically and strategically and purposely confuses them. Number 8, test your answers. This takes some self-discipline, but it's the idea of intentionally holding back on a definitive answer, just waiting a while before you actually make a statement about what you think is right. It's what happens when you have a general idea, but then you go back and test it and revise it before declaring it as the absolute final answer. And then number 9, identify what you don't know. Annie Paul Murphy has shared 3 studies that are fascinating. They're linked on this blog post that reinforce this idea that identifying confusion can actually lead to deeper learning. It's similar to what Derek Moeller mentioned in his research. It's the idea that you will learn things at a deeper level when you make a prediction and then figure out just how wrong you actually are. this sense of confusion then fuels your engagement, inquiry, and, well, eventually your learning. Now, when we use confusion strategically, students will get frustrated. Some of them are even going to get angry. But they're also going to be engaged in the learning process at a much more profound level. They'll slow down and think deeper about the content. They'll be more excited about it. And it'll stick. The end result is a more humble, nuanced, and ultimately deeper learning of the content in a way that actually lasts. So I would argue that one of the greatest vintage ideas that we need to embrace is this idea of strategic confusion. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I know it's been a little while since we had our last episode. I was not feeling well. You can probably still hear a little bit in my voice. But thank you for listening. If you enjoy this podcast at all, please leave a review on iTunes. That would mean the world to me. And yeah, I just want to say thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it.